Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Why don't we give them aluminum bats next? I mean, I just hate the whole aspect of that. Now, I will tell you right now, the major problem with the New York Mets right now as we sit is Jose Reyes, Neil Walker, who's the other guy? There's one other guy that is not hitting right now.
I mean, well, Cespedes bat 125.
Well, I know he'll end up going, but there are guys that are just not hitting. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And to me, that's the number one issue with the New York Mets and Curtis Granderson.
Right.
Curtis Granderson's doing what he normally does. He's doing what he normally does. And he's striking out, and it's just that's the frustrating part of it. And the other frustrating part of it is that they're doing it against Bartolo Colon.
Right.
And we saw the Bartolo Colon that we love as Met fans last night.
That's right.
Just kind of dancing around the outside of the plate. The ball comes breaking over. Guys can't hit it. He's laughing on the mound. They're probably frustrated inside. And it was just, I don't know. It was just, and DeGrom did a good job last night. He threw 95 pitches last night, by the way.
You've got two starts, DeGrom and Syndergaard. And they pitch great.
Yeah.
You gave up. Syndergaard doesn't give up a run. DeGrom goes through it, and the Braves get that one run in the seventh. And you go, all right. If you're going to get starting pitching like that, you got to win every one of those games at home,
right?
Especially against the Atlanta Braves,
or the
Phillies, or the Marlins when they come to town. You got the starting pitching you needed. DeGrom gave up two hits. Two hits.
Well, that's why,
it's the Met offense, and it's going to drive you bonkers all year long.
Reyes, Granderson, and Walker. Those three guys are the most culpable when it comes to offense. They've done nothing.
Well, Reyes, right. You can't lead off the game and be 0-5.
And that's two games into it. It's frustrating. They're off to horrendous starts. And it's bad. Now, for the Yankees, he just got shelled.
Yes.
What can I tell you? And that's...
They're lucky it was only four.
And that's going to be a problem.
Well, exactly. Because... Headley's hitting the ball, but it doesn't matter. The Yankee bullpen has not given up a run yet this year, whatever it is. I know it's only a couple games, it's not going to be crazy. But it's like 14 innings now, and they are perfect. No runs scored. Now, if you told almost any other pitching staff in baseball that you're starting pitching, we don't have to give you six innings, and that's legitimate, you think you're going to win a lot of games. But Yankees can't help themselves. Can't help themselves. Pineda wasn't any good. And you lose the series to Tampa. But again, we've played three games. Let's relax. Let's not get crazy. But let's acknowledge for both teams, one series into it, or a couple games into it for the Mets at least, that all the things you thought were going to be really good, really good.
Well,
the stuff that you worried about, reason to worry some more. You're bothered.
I'm bothered because I hate this.
You don't like the walk thing.
I hate the intentional walk thing. I just hate it. It just doesn't look right. And maybe it'll take me some time to get used to it, but I don't know.
Plus, you only get five hits against Bartolo Colon and the Braves.
I know, but you know what? I consider myself as a
purist.
Purist.
Yes.
But anyway, it was frustrating. And, the Rangers lost last night in a glorified preseason game.
Doesn't
from
matter.
Their perspective. It doesn't matter. They lost 2-0. It is now official that it will be the Rangers and Canadians. I've been telling you this now for the last week. So that would be the first round matchup. The Rangers are basically sitting players, resting players now. And last night was a glorified preseason game for them. But the Capitals do win the President's Trophy again, which usually bodes not so well for the team that wins that trophy. So we'll see. Those playoffs are a few weeks away. But... at the end of the day, you also have Tony Romo still talking, and it's hard for him to say the word retirement.
Right.
Because he's saying 99% chance that he's not coming back.
Well, you like to leave the door open a little bit.
Oh, sure you do.
He had an hour-long press conference yesterday, and it's funny. We all sit here for a living, and we criticize people, right?
Yeah.
And we pass judgment on other people. But if you're going to make a decision based on a one-hour conference call as to whether or not a guy's going to be a good analyst, you might as well put your pen down. Because Tony Romo yesterday, And again, you've been a part of these conference call type deals, right?
Yep.
And it can be awkward, you know, hearing the person. You don't see them, so eye-to-eye contact for a lot of it, right?
Sometimes you don't know what the voice inflection and thing, whatever, yeah.
So, I mean, he's being criticized in the paper today for being monotone, not being entertaining. And I'm like, look, he's not Rex Ryan.
Already.
He's not Rex Ryan, right?
Yeah.
He's not going to be that kind of outgoing, I'm going to make fun of everybody and have self-deprecating humor as well and command a call. But it's got nothing to do with whether or not he's going to be a good analyst.
Look, now, it's going to be trial by fire. There's going to be some growing pains. A lot of that's going to be up to, you know, Jim Nance and Lance Barrow to help him out.
Well, tell people who Lance Barrow is.
Well, Lance Barrow is basically the guy who runs the thing. He's the producer behind the scenes, and he also does, you know, the Masters with Jim and does golf with Jim and everything else. So, and plus, Tony's going to have a lot of games. He's going to have the Thursday night package, part of the Thursday night package. He'll have his regular season games. He'll have Thanksgiving. He's going to be thrust right into the fire, if you will.
I love Tony Romo. He's the man.
And, well... And the fact is that, you know, a guy's got to grow into a position. If somebody's going to step in there who's never done it before, is going to turn out to be John Madden, who everybody loved.
Sure.
It's not going to go that way. I'm just telling you, there's going to be growing pains. So, and he'll deal with it. He's smart enough.
He'll
he knows
fine.
What's going on.
He's either
going
to suck or he's not going to suck, but he'll be fine. Apparently, it's interesting. They did not do any practice games like in a studio prior to giving him the job. And if you buy the story I read today, which I did not know until this morning. You say, why would CBS think so highly of Tony to give him the number one spot out of the gate?
Right.
A lot of times you want to groom a guy like that, right?
Yeah.
Most guys do get groomed over the course of maybe a year or two, whatever it might be. As the story goes, two Super Bowls ago, they were at the Friday night commissioner's party.
Okay.
Every Super Bowl, there's a big jacket and tie NFL sanctioned party. They call it the commissioner's party. And all the partners
are
invited.
Was this the one in San Jose or San Francisco?
I think so, yes. Friday night.
Okay.
Tony Romo is there. And Tony Romo is now, not by design, I guess has a little, like, their cocktails, hors d'oeuvres. Oh, I'll have the shrimp cocktail. Oh, look, sushi, honey. Go get me a spicy tuna roll and add a lot of wasabi on it. I'll go to the cocktails. We'll meet back here at 3. One of those deals, right?
Okay.
So your boss, the Mac Daddy man,
yes.
Now is engaged with Tony Romo in a conversation.
Okay.
And as the story goes, I guess he asked him about the Super Bowl or about a game that just took place.
Okay.
And Tony Romo gave him a 10-minute answer, articulate, a soliloquy on football. And it was in that moment that CBS decided, that's our guy.
All right. So
that's it. That's the story I learned this morning. I got to start going to these cocktail parties, man. What am I doing?
I don't know what you're doing.
I go to bed early. I leave the Super Bowl. I come home. I watch with my kids. I got to start going to commissioner parties.
Yeah, sure you do.
And finding executives and having 10-minute soliloquies planned so I can get an analyst job. Or some type of
or
job.
Something. Some other job.
Right. Yeah. I mean, one more pilot from Spike and I'm done. But, so that apparently, you never know, right? You never know. I always say that we do the show right now in the moment. You have no idea who might be listening. Your next boss could be listening to this show right now. Possible.
I guess so. You never know.
And he may be so enthralled with, boy, that Boomer Esiason. He looks good. He sounds good.
Thank you.
He's working another 4-day week.
Oh,
perfect
yeah.
Perfect kind of
that's
guy
what I'm talking
me,
about.
Right? That's the kind of guy
he's got
we
Fridays
might want
off.
Over at
yeah,
Fox.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I know you went to the opening of the Nassau Coliseum,
I did.
The new Nassau Coliseum last night.
Yes, I did.
Affectionately known as the Slinky. So,
right.
To you, up close and personal, does it look like a Slinky?
It does.
It does.
It looks like a UFO.
But it does have
but
Slinky
it has
properties.
Slinky characteristics, yes.
Yeah, it does.
And it was great. It was great.
How was Billy Joel last night?
I wasn't thrilled with the set list, personally,
I mean,
but he sounded great.
What do you mean the set list?
Yeah,
what was he saying?
I'm
was he singing Beach Boys song
I'm very
or something?
Critical. No, he sounded great. The building was great. The Boomer and Carton Express was great. A lot of sausage coming here and there and everywhere.
All right, good.
But I'll say this. having grown up going to the building, as you did,
yes.
And most New Yorkers did, whether it was to see the Islanders play or to see Steve Jungle in the New York Arrows or see Madonna in the Like a Virgin tour, whatever it was.
Right.
They did a fantastic job. It's clean. It's bright. They widened some areas where they were allowed to widen them for more access. It's easier to get around the building. And Billy Joel sounded fantastic.
All right, I don't care about any of that. Can they put a hockey team in there?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, they can.
They can.
That was part of the conversation last night as well.
Oh look at you talking about hockey, when you're at a concert.
My expert opinion
was
asked.
You know what that is? You know what that is?
That's me trying to get to you.
That's me influencing you.
Yeah, so I had a number of people ask me, "Why? So what do you think now that you're in a building with people in it and you see exactly how things are laid out, right?
Yep.
There is going to be a big push by this Long Island Coalition.
It's a coalition of Long Islanders.
I do not remember the name.
Is this now North Shore and South Shore?
I saw your boy Ed Mangano there as
He probably was there.
Right? Free steak? What?
Was his wife there, the food taster?
I do not know that.
You don't know that.
There's going to be a big push to stop what seems to be apparent, which is that there's going to be another arena greenlit, most likely in the Belmont spot.
Belmont, yeah.
To build a new arena.
Another new arena.
Islanders.
Just what we need is we need another new arena.
Well, that's the issue. The issue is we don't need another arena, and they're going to try to work out something to get Mr. Ledecky and Malkin.
Not Evgeny Malkin.
No, to agree to bring the Islanders back to Long Island. And you'll start hearing about that a lot now that the Coliseum's
all right,
open.
Now there are 11 suites at the, 11. At the new Nassau Coliseum, right?
Yes, correct. Not enough.
Not enough.
But you know what? If you want to make something work, you make it work. Like I would say to
how many seats would there be for an Islander hockey game?
Call it 14,000. It's just under, but call it 14,000.
It's probably about the size of what's going on in Winnipeg.
Correct.
I think.
That's the building they compare it to.
Oh, really?
That Winnipeg is viable. Why couldn't it be viable here?
And plus, they also have the money coming from MSG. And the question is whether or not Jim Dolan is going to sell MSG Network.
Well, there's also the question of Jim Dolan would be involved in the building of the new arena, too.
Another building?
Now, which makes no sense.
Do we need another building?
Well, if you're Jim Dolan and you go, 15 years ago, the garden, and you had Izod Center, right?
Right.
You only went two games in town. Then an older Coliseum. Now you've got the new Coliseum. You have Barclays Center. You still got the buildings in Jersey if you ever want to use them. You got the garden. And you have all these other little, 2,500 seat, 4,000 seat
theater
places popping up, which compete against you.
Right.
Now, while the garden's immune to all that, if I own Madison Square Garden, why in the world would I want to bless another arena within 15 miles of my arena?
Well, let's face it.
I wouldn't want that.
What are there? Would you say there's somewhere between?
And if I'm Barclays, I wouldn't want it.
You say there's somewhere between in the tri-state area, okay? When you know what we're talking about in terms of proximity and everything. Would you say somewhere between the, I guess, 15 and 17 million within the tri-state area, within 25 miles of downtown New York? Maybe more than that.
New York Metro is 12 million alone.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, so how many, buildings do you have per person, what I'm saying?
It's too much.
Or per people towards buildings. I don't know. I just think that I know the Islanders need a home. They need a real home.
Well, they got it. It's built. Figure it out. Again, I have no dog in the fight. I don't care if they go there or move to Kansas City. It don't matter
to me.
Where's
the scoreboard?
The scoreboard's dead center.
Dead center.
As if you were playing hockey, it'd be dead center.
It would be dead center.
It was built that way. Because, the Long Island Nets will play basketball there.
Right.
That's like the D-League team. There will be, I think they have a contract. It's either 4 or 6 Islander games. It's part of the deal that they will play there. So just move them there. It's asinine not to. The arena's built. It's gorgeous. It can accommodate 13,000 plus. They are the Islanders. You got to be able to make the money work. You have to. If they can make it work in Winnipeg and it's financially viable there, how is it not viable in Uniondale?
Well, the big thing, I think, for the new owners of the Islanders, and you've often said this, that the cachet of having, playing in Brooklyn means something.
Yes, only if you're going to sell it, though.
But they're
not selling it.
I know, but I would also say that the Islanders are playing in the Barclays Center and they're being paid by the Barclays Center to play in there.
It's a bad deal all around because, Barclays doesn't want them and they don't want to be there. So let's figure out a fair divorce, sent him to the National Coliseum, which, you know, Bruce Ratner and the Barclays guys, and it's a pro club.
Same owners and everything, yeah.
So you can figure it out. You know, it's a big pissing match is what it is. You know, it's ego for sure. But you have a building that needs events, a community that wants their team back, I think, largely, right?
Yes.
And make it work. Figure it out. Get in a room with Gary Bettman and work out the numbers rather than spending another $500 million on another arena that we don't need.
I don't understand why Gary Bettman would be involved.
Because he's got to get the be the moderator to get those two sides to agree to a deal and then figure out the financial part of how you keep the team viable. That's all. At the end of the day, the building was great. Billy Joel was great. The New York Yankees stunk. The New York Mets offense stinks. So all in all, it was what they call a 50-50 day. I got good music. I got lousy sports. Good music, lousy sports. Good music, lousy sports. Good music, lousy sports.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
I mean, 4 hours for what?
You're
Jesus
not wrong.
Christ.
They saved about, you know, a minute by asking the guys to take first pace right, as opposed to pitching.
I know you said you didn't like it.
I don't like it.
I got to be honest. I kind of do.
I don't like it.
I thought I would hate it.
Jerry, I'm a purist.
Like when Freddie Freeman comes up in whatever inning that was, and they intended the 12th inning, they intentionally walk him. I'm like, you know what? Good.
I'm but a
there's
purist,
no nonsense.
Jerry.
Just put him at
Jerry,
first
Jerry,
base
I'm
and let's
a purist.
Go.
I like it.
I understand.
I don't like the new rule.
I actually
I like
don't
the
hate
old
it.
Rule.
All right. So we won't change
that. Is that
anything.
A new report or is that
well,
an old report?
Well, it's a new report with an old school spin to it.
Yes.
There you go. All right, we're brought to you by 2x London. Visit the engagement experts at Americana Manhasset and Westfield World Trade Center today. We are also brought to you by Accountemps.
Oh, yeah.
Accountemps is the leading temporary accounting and finance staffing agency. Learn why 9 out of 10 of their customers would recommend us. Call them today at or visit Accountemps.com. Accountemps, a Robert Half company. Where do you want to start with? The
well,
crap in Tampa or the crap at Citi Field?
I don't know.
Start
at
Citi Field.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll start in Citi Field. Braves-Mets, the Atlanta wound up winning in 12-3-1. Take you through some of this, and I think this highlight probably caps Hansel Robles' night because he was hideous after Jacob deGrom was really good through
sure.
six.
Robles, who was effective on Monday, not so much tonight. And
ow.
Abbott hits Suzuki to load the bases. So Robles all over the place. A triple, a walk, an RBI double, and now a hit by pitch.
And by the way, if it wasn't for Jerry Blevins, then that game could have gotten out of hand very quickly.
That's the spot in the game that the game was lost.
Yes, I agree.
Ultimately, because, you know, Jacob deGrom was so good.
Yep, he
so
was.
Good.
Yeah, he was. But that tied the game. That didn't tie the game, but his outing tied the game. And then you get Matt Kemp with the go-ahead two-run double off of losing pitcher Rafael Montero scoring Darno and Inciarte. Here's the highlight of that with Gary Cohen on SNY.
And Montero deals, and it's ripped into left of base. Center of the Braves take the lead. Darno is in. Inciarte scores. Freeman stops at third. Matt Kemp with his third double of the night. And the Braves take a 3-1 lead in the top of the 12th.
And that was the final.
I think he's a net negative.
Yes, Gary Cohen on SNY. Rafael Montero was the pitcher of record there. He lost the game in the 12th inning. And he was
The Mets used 8 pitchers last night.
Yeah, no, they did.
4 hours later, So we saved 43 seconds on the new intentional walk deal where the guy just takes first base. It still took us four hours to play a game.
The bullpen's the problem with all these games. Montero pitched the 11th. He was okay. The 12th, he was not. But Terry Collins actually thought he was pretty good.
I think that's a stepping stone for him. And, you know, tough situation to come in and you're, you know, when you're trying to impress people and you know, and we're not scoring and you got to hold him down, and he did okay.
But he didn't.
He didn't do okay.
No, he didn't.
Number two, it's 2 games. You don't want this Met team to be reminiscent of past teams where you start asking your starting pitchers to have to throw shutouts to win games.
Agreed.
Yeah, and again, it's 1 game, but that was the worry about this team offensively. Would they give you 3-4 runs a game? That way your DeGroms, your Syndergaards, Harvey tonight, they don't go out there with the mindset, as soon as I give up a run, we're in trouble. And
agreed.
That's what it was 2 years
ago. Well, listen, Reyes, Granderson, and and Walker right now are just basically anchors.
But like you said, it's two games. Can't get nuts.
Yeah, like you can't go crazy
just
about
one,
it.
Just one hit between three of those guys, maybe, and maybe it's a key hit, and maybe the game's won.
Right. I mean, Reyes is not – he's what's Reyes, over 10 this year?
Something like that. Right. He's kind of like he's in Gary Sanchez territory.
Exactly. Right.
He's one for 14, I think. Yes, he did have a hit last
Sanchez
night.
Sanchez has a hit. Jose Reyes does not have a hit. Neil Walker does not have a hit. I can go on if you'd like.
How about Jay Bruce? He homered last night.
Bruce
he was 3 for 5.
Good
That's
for
exactly right. So there is some positive.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Rolling down the street, what? Headed to city. Gonna go see Jay Bruce.
Laid back.
With my mind on a title and a title on my mind.
By the way, every time Jay Bruce comes to bat, all I can think of is Al singing Jay Bruce, Jay Bruce,
Jay Bruce, Jay Bruce, Jay Bruce is on fire.
It's true.
Jay Bruce, Jay Bruce, Jay Bruce is on fire. We don't need yo anus, let that weekend hacker golf. Golf, yo anus. Golf.
I think maybe you want to amend Holy the back God. Part of it, but I love that one. Anyway, you got Matt Harvey, Jaime Garcia tonight in the series finale.
Well, Matt Harvey, big start for him.
Big
now.
Start, win
now,
the series.
Do you think they'll play today?
That's a great question. The weather is terrible.
Scheduled for tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, but the weather forecast sucks.
I think
again.
You play.
Well, I hope they do play.
So you play. Thunderstorms
no, no, you
during
don't.
The day.
No, you don't.
But heavy rain.
Heavy rain.
Heavy
all this
rain.
Stuff. You know what? Don't make everybody sit there. Think of the fans. Call the game and let's go. Let
Mets,
Atlanta get the hell
the
out of here and let's go.
The Mets want to sell some hot dogs and burgers before the game gets canceled.
Don't screw
That's
the
right.
fans.
Just like every other team.
They have like three people in this
You know I agree with you on that point. Plus, there's a lousy crowd last night anyway.
Not great.
For
Not
a team
great.
That's got World Series expectations,
Not great.
And you have DeGrom on the mound.
But in fairness,
where is everybody?
It's
I go to St. Louis, they're all there.
It's still April, it was coming.
It was April in St. Louis, they're there. It's April in Chicago, they're there.
It's April different.
New York,
it's just different. I don't
Not there. Because you haven't bought right. into it yet, I guess.
Well,
I
you know what? We'll find out next week when we have a Tuesday or Wednesday night game for the Yankees.
Yes, true.
I don't know.
Perhaps the marketing plan for the Mets isn't right. Or maybe just people don't want to go there and give the Wilpons their money. I mean, I don't know what it is, but you know, you're supposed to be a World Series caliber team. You got this great pitching staff, and there were 30,000 empty seats yesterday.
You're right. It did not. It wasn't great
it's
by any stretch.
Frankly. I guess everyone's at Billy Joel, maybe.
You think that was it?
No.
You're just going to go with it. Anyway, then you've got the Yankees and Rays, and talk about a smattering of fans. About 12,000 people were in Tampa to watch their team beat the Yanks.
Pineda deals, hit hard, base hit right field in the first base hole. Norris will score. Stolen base is a biggie. It's a base hit and an RBI for Dickerson. And Tampa takes a 4-1 lead.
And that would cap the score early.
Yay!
Early on, John Sterling on the fan, 4-1 the final. Norris did snap the tie there with the two-run single in the second, then scores on that Dickerson single we just played. Dickerson also homered in the first inning. Alex Cobb, 5 2/3 for the win. And then there's Michael Pineda. He took the loss, 4 runs, just 3 2/3. What was his issue, Joe Girardi?
Just, you know, came down, he made some mistakes with his fastball.
Now,
well,
Pineda.
I mean, 2 outs, he gave up a bunch of runs.
Which he owed, and that's his problem.
Yeah, and that's been his problem. And they just grew the fastball, and at this level, Boob, you can't do that.
Now, Pineda is now using a translator, and I don't think he really ever has. We've always played Michael Pineda, but he's using a translator now. He was asked what happened in the second inning.
Yeah, I missed locations in that inning. I felt good, though, you know. Physically felt good, but location, you know, missed on it.
And then you've got Bird. Now, Sanchez did have a hit, but they are not exactly flying out the gate.
No, they're not killing it.
Joe Girardi asks, what's up with those two guys?
You know, they're not getting hits. I still think their at-bats are pretty good. I think they're long at-bats. They're just not going up there and swinging.
Fair enough.
Well, you know, the interesting, you know.
Take your time,
Sanchez is 1-for-14, right? So he's struck out 3 times. I don't know. You know, maybe he's not long for
maybe
the tool.
Maybe you want to take a nap?
Maybe I do. Okay.
The Yankees are off today.
That was like a yawn, you know what I mean? You're about done. That was one of those, all right, good seeing you, fellas. I got a trip to Ottawa. Yeah. That wasn't like a yawn, like I'm waking up yawn. That was a I'm done yawn. The full body stretch, the whole thing.
Moment of the day?
No, not yet.
Not yet, okay.
Yankees will be in Baltimore over the weekend. Then you did have this whole thing that came up with Clint Frazier and the number that he wears.
Did she apologize?
So Susan was on, I don't know about that. She was on with Joe and Evan yesterday.
Yeah.
And they were at, they had asked Susan about just, you know, watching guys like Judge with the big high numbers and, you know, and then Clint Frazier's name came up and Susan said this.
Did you hear the Clint story? Clint Frazier actually asked the Yankees if they ever unretire numbers.
Did he really ask? Well, what number did he want? I just want to know. What number did he want?
No, he wanted number 7.
Are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
Did he even know who Mickey Mantle was? Did he know?
I have no idea.
So there you have that.
You know, I got to tell you, I wanted number 7. Okay? Except that Clint Frazier came out and said, I've never once asked for that. I care more about what's on the front of the jersey than the back. Great answer. They went to the Yankee like equipment guy, who would be the guy that hands out the jerseys. Said no one ever came to me and asked for it. They then went to Jason Zillow, Z, who's the PR director. He goes, first time ever hearing about it.
What did you?
Everybody has denied it. I did not talk to him. Man.
Well, you got to talk to him. Come on, man. He's up. He listens to you and transcribes the show. Make sure that you're already saying that you know all these great things about the Yankees. So.
But here's the thing. Wait, you know, Clint Frazier has now been put under an unfair microscope and been mocked for 24 hours. You owe him an apology.
Yes, unless it's true.
Well, but everyone has said it never happened.
She's been around that team a long time.
But she never claimed that she heard him say it. She's saying that was scuttlebutt.
The only thing I will say about what she, it's the way she said it. It's like she brought it up. Like to make
it. Hey, the story about Clint Frazier?
I would have to rewind that. She brought it up because Evan was asking about these other guys wearing just odd numbers and big numbers.
But she wanted to tell the story.
Hey, Evan. The Yankees have more numbers retired than any team in the history of any sport.
No, I know.
Why are we even talking about it? My point is,
she didn't just, they weren't talking about Michael Pineda. And she said, oh, by the way, before I lose the thought. It wasn't like that. It was they were talking about all these young players and the prospects.
I don't like it.
That's fine. But
everyone has said it never happened. She was kind of saying it third person. That's the way I heard it.
Fair enough.
But you're right. Boomer's right. She was almost giddy about it. Like, oh, did you hear this? Oh, did you hear this one?
And of all things.
And I was mocking him like, Clint Frazier, dumb kid asked for number 7. You know what? It's a thing for Mick. You know, Mickey Mantle's one of the great Yankees of all time. You know, they were. Can you believe this moron actually asking for Mickey Mantle's number 7? What's next? Number 2?
He's one of the core 25.
Core 32. I say you give him number 106. Mickey Mantle's rolling over in his grave right now. Joe D's pissed. I mean, come on, man. Wow. But that being said.
But is that like a big story anyway?
I think you have to publicly apologize during the broadcast. You know, John, yesterday, I went out with those two hacks at FAN. Boomerang Carton. Now, Joe and Evan. And I gladly gave them the story that I'd heard about involving Clint Frazier. Oh my goodness gracious, I got it wrong. Clint, I want to tell you, I'm sorry. I want to kiss you.
Elsewhere in baseball, Chris Sale went 7 scoreless innings, 7 strikeouts. He got no run support, but the Red Sox beat the Pirates in 12.
See, they're a winning franchise right there, man.
The 0-1 pitch. And Sandy hits one high deep to left field. Way back. It's a walk-off home run for Sandy Leon. And the Red Sox win it 3-0.
Tim Neverett on Red Sox radio.
And that place is sold out.
That's a very exciting moment. I didn't see any empty seats there.
That's Fenway Park. It's never empty seats. Fenway Park. Ever, 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 ever.
Going to
compare it to Wrigley too now?
Hold on. Same expectations for each team. They both think they're World Series caliber clubs. They're both in the Northeast. They both have kids who go to school today. It's a Tuesday.
What's the capacity? What's Fenway's an event. You get people that aren't Red Sox fans.
What is the capacity of Fenway Park?
I would say 34,000.
So, I mean, City Field is much bigger.
City Field's 44, and I think the paid attendance is 28 or 29 last night.
Fenway Park capacity is 38,000.
Is it that much now?
Yep, 38,000. City Field.
This should be 44, I think.
City Field capacity is 42. It's a 4,000 seat difference.
Right.
Except one place had 38,000 people in it, one place had 20,000 empty seats. You're right, Bruce?
Are we keeping you up today?
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're going to Ottawa this weekend, but it is Thursday.
Yeah,
but
you're taking tomorrow off.
I know, dude. I just got to tell you, man. It's, you know, with these late night baseball games and hockey games and everything else. Yeah, I'm a little tired this morning.
So. Yeah, you just, yo.
I don't know. You know, shut up.
There it goes again. I like the big stretch. Oh, yeah. Yes, working out, kid.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, if you keep out like that, one of us is going to nance
you. No, let me ask you a question. The last 3 days, you have been absolutely walking
around. No, no, no. Don't put this on me. I come in here.
I've had one day where I'm a little tired, and you.
A little tired. Oh!
Yeah, yo.
I don't know.
Go kick his ass. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, come on.
Do you need this? You're a former NFL MVP.
No, you're right, Jerry. I don't
start
need
busting
this.
Some heads around.
How are you trying to flip it and criticize me?
I'm just saying, for the last 3 days, you have been telling us
fairness,
how you got no sleep.
You had a conversation yesterday with Vicky with your eyes closed.
Yes.
After the show.
No, well.
So, right or wrong, at 10:01, she bored me. She put me right to sleep. Telling you, you're going to get nanced. You keep it up.
All right.
You don't get nanced.
Okay, whatever that means.
You know what it means.
I don't know what it means.
You know what it means.
I don't want to know what it means.
I start making some calls behind your back.
All right, go ahead, make some calls.
Dustin Johnson fell down a flight of stairs in his rental house near Augusta. So he suffered a back injury.
For real?
Yes. Probably have like shag carpeting on the stairs or something down
First
there.
Round of the Masters starts today. He's got a 2 o'clock tee time. I expect him to play, but he's on anti-inflammatories.
Oh, man.
I hope there's not PEDs.
Good thing he's not a hockey player.
I don't think they are.
No, he's a golfer. Like Dustin Johnson shoots a 10 under par first round. He's disqualified because he fell down a flight of stairs and took, you know,
an illegal
aspirin.
Substance. Marshawn. Marshawn Lynch visited with the Raiders. Reports say he's likely to end up playing in Oakland. Something would have to be worked out.
How about if he may go to Oakland, fine. How about the fact that New England's close to getting Richard Sherman?
Well, I don't think they're close. I don't buy that.
Yeah, but you know what's
all.
Going on in Seattle, don't you? Richard Sherman has basically gotten too big for his britches out there. And he's a guy on the sideline the last 2 years that has gotten into teammates' faces.
And the coaches' faces.
And fighting on the sideline. And he's the one that's always bringing up the fact that they didn't hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch at the end of Super Bowl 49. And, I mean, I think that Pete Carroll and John Schneider, the GM, have had enough. Enough already.
I can see that. Right. He becomes a lost leader, right? So if you can get great quality in return, if the Patriots think highly enough of him at whatever money he's making.
They want to get rid of his
maybe
salary.
Maybe top
they
three, want to, two, 3 round draft pick.
Well, let's get rid of his salary and let's get rid of the pain in the ass that he's become. At least that's the things that I've been reading out there.
Fair enough. Makes sense. But, of course, it's New England, right? Because they don't have enough. Why don't we just deed them a spot in the Super Bowl next year and let them play some exhibition games in Japan?
Called the Patriot Bowl.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
When do you think?
And to their credit, like it's amazing how good they are at salary cap control, financial aspects of the game, plus of course having great players and coach. But it's almost. It must be like what it was like, you know, 40 years ago, trying to be a college team playing against UCLA, you know?
Yeah.
Where they're just so much better at everything they do than you are.
You know what? I'm waiting for the day that they decide, you know what? As good as Gronkowski is, we can't count on him. He's always injured. You know, we're going to just have to move away from
him.
Always
one party away from doing something stupid.
I'm telling you, that's not far off.
I'm with you. Anything else, Sherry?
Yeah, just quickly. The Cavaliers beat up the Celtics last night.
That was the statement game.
Thunder beat the Grizzlies. Not a triple-double for Westbrook, but 45 points, 9 rebounds, and 10 assists.
He's your MVP.
James Harden, 31-7-10. Rockets beat the Nuggets. Wrap up the 3 seed. The Warriors clinched the best record in the NBA with their win over the Suns. What else? Knicks-Wizards tonight. You got the James Dolan thing we'll get to later. Nets in Orlando tonight. And Patrick Ewing was introduced at George Center as their head coach yesterday. We'll play some sound later as well, and the Capitals beat the Rangers too.
Yeah, I like the Dolan thing, except for one part of it's stupid, but I like the concept of what took place outside the Garden yesterday. There was a verbal spat between the owner of the Knicks and a random fan while Irving Azoff looked on.
Well, I mean, it's really surreal. Who supposedly is a law professor.
A lawyer? Is he a professor?
Well, he's a professor. He was teaching supposedly he's saying there's no way that he was drunk. because he had just come from teaching a class.
Well, they accuse everyone of being drunk, so I'll put that one to the side. If you get in a fight with them, you're drunk. I mean, every single guy that's ever gotten into it is an alcoholic, allegedly.
Right.
But I'll get into the story later on, because I like it, actually. I like it a lot.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Andrew, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Boomer and Carton? Oh, yeah.
What's happening, Andrew?
How's it going, guys? I just want to commend Craig on his transition to being a Yankee fan. I'm a big Yankee fan, and Boomer has said, "Your beloved Yankees, there's no fight back anymore. I'm a Met fan." Craig, I love it.
Well, it's very similar to, I think, Bruce Jenner's journey.
Journey.
Okay. It's tough. It's arduous. Many people don't like you doing it. There are those that have their own agendas against you, and they just don't want you to be happy. And when it comes down to life, the goal is to be happy, right?
And I think we're going through a watershed moment right here.
I think you just need to be happy.
I think you're finally coming to grips with who you are, what you are, and how you feel about the Yankees.
Well, I'm not
a Yankee hat in front of Craig's desk as well.
I haven't. Well, that's the people set that
up
to try.
But here's the deal. Let's face it. Whether it be Bruce Jenner or Barry Manilow or anybody else, I mean, it's finally that you've come to grips with the truth and really how you feel about the Yankees, and that's okay.
I feel like it's a process, Boomer.
Well, I just feel like you've been through this process. We've been through this process with you.
It's a process.
And it's a journey, and we're all on this journey together.
And at first we mocked him.
Yeah.
But now we realize we were wrong.
Yes.
Yankee fans like myself.
So good for you.
God bless you, I'm not there yet, but listen, it is being debated. It's an internal struggle, the likes of which you couldn't possibly comprehend. And we'll see how it winds up. No promises either way. I have not yet made the decision to have the procedure that would officially change.
We know you are.
We know where you're coming from. In play, if you would.
Let's go to Dave in Wappinger Falls. Dave, you're on with Boomer and Carton. What's up? Hello.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How are you?
All right, Dave. What's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. You guys crack me up, bro. Every morning I listen to you, especially yesterday with the Phil Simms thing. That was the best.
Unless you're Phil Simms. Yes. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm a diehard Giants fan, but hey, listen, it is what it is. You know, sometimes you lose your job. I wish him well wherever he goes.
Of course.
We'll see how Romo works out, you know. And for you becoming a Yankee fan, great, bro. Great.
People are so happy with you and everything. It's just
Al's right. There's a cycle to this. First, you know, when Bruce Jenner decides I want to be known as Diane Jenner or whatever, what name did he pick?
Caitlyn
Jenner. The first reaction is, "What are you talking about? You're the great American athlete. You're a man's man."
Yeah, okay.
Then it became, "Well, why don't we learn to show some acceptance of others and how they feel about themselves? It's not harming anyone else." So I've run kind of in a parallel universe. I've experienced all of it, Boom. The full rainbow of emotions. Both internally, of course.
It's a beautiful thing.
And then on the outside world, the way I interact with people.
It's actually a beautiful thing just watching this whole thing unfold over the years.
But it's not there yet.
And now that you're there and you finally are taking stock in it, and in the last couple callers, you know, kind of supporting you in your change and your understanding of who you are. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Well, it would be. It could be. Yeah, but I have an audience I need to consider, and I thought I would disappoint fans.
I mean, you realize it would be like an Islander fan becoming a Ranger fan.
Well, listen.
You know? I mean, that's a hard thing. You know, it's a hard thing to go through, and I understand it.
Well, you know, in my lifetime, it's been very rare that the Yankees and the Mets were both really good at the same time. That does not happen frequently.
No, you act as if you're the only one who's lived during that lifetime.
I'm just pointing it out to you.
I mean,
I'm pointing out to you the genesis of
Mets fans for Yankees?
Of Mets fans for Yankees. You know, the Wilpon stewardship of this franchise has been a disaster. And as a result,
not the last 2 years in Citi Field, you wouldn't say it's a disaster.
I wouldn't say you should be happy with last year. You didn't win a single playoff game.
I'm just saying, but I like Citi Field. I like where the team is. I like the fact that Sandy Alderson is running this team the way he's running.
They're in a good spot. Listen, they could do something this year, which amazingly they've never done in their history, and that's go to the playoffs 3 straight years. That's a good thing. That being said, I got sick and tired of it. It's almost like being the unattractive, unpopular kid in school, where you know every day you go there, the day's not going to end well. And that's the way Met fans felt. For years, we felt that way. And you there right there, lockstep. In 2007, we felt that way with the big collapse of 07.
Yeah,
right?
That's the players
seven
on the field. That wasn't the ownership. The ownership put the money in the team, and they collapsed.
There's never been a connection in this city between the fan base and the Wilpons. There's never been a connection.
Well, when you have the Jackie Robinson Rotunda as opposed to a Tom Seaver statue, yeah, I get it. They live in Brooklyn. They still think it's Brooklyn. They think of the Dodgers and all that other stuff. When in actuality, they're in Flushing, and it's the Mets.
Correct. That's exactly.
I know. I get that.
And because of that, with all the years that they've owned the Mets, it's a pretty long run, right?
Yeah.
There's never been that connection between the ownership and the fan base.
I don't know about
that. Doesn't exist.
I mean,
it's not even, you can have a hate relationship, but at least you got something. You can have a loving relationship, you got something. They've never connected.
When the EMT Arroyo's family was out there throwing out the first pitch,
sure.
When Steve McDonald's son threw out the first pitch, you know, that's a connection to the fans. They get it a lot, you know. I mean, it's just they're the bastard child. You know, they're not the Yankees.
Right.
It's like the Islanders are not the Rangers. I get it. I mean, you know, I played for the Jets, not the Giants.
Right.
I know what it's like. I grew up here. You know, I'm a Met fan because I'm a National League fan.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
And there's this 35-year-old guy who turns out to be a lawyer who sees Jim Doan getting out of the car, getting in the car, whatever it might be, but outside the Garden. And he goes, "Hey, Jim, sell the team." So Doan, rather than just getting in the car and, you know, paying you no mind, you're going to yell at me, so I'm going to give it to you back. And he calls the guy an a-hole. And they get into it a little bit verbally, that's it. And then a security guard allegedly follows the guy around the building once. And then the guy winds up getting in and sits there, and he's a season ticket holder. And he watches the game without incident. So he didn't get kicked out. He wasn't asked to move. Nobody muzzled him. But on the street of New York City, two men had a little verbal spat.
You know what? But you called me out. I'm going to call you out.
I love it. I got no problem with any part of it.
I mean, look, you know, the fact
that no one denies it, by the way.
Now, if only the Knicks could show as much emotion.
Now, supposedly, Deadspin got a hold of Jim Dolan.
Okay.
The way I read it, at least. And said, would you comment on it? And he goes, yeah, I called the guy an a-hole because he's acting like an a-hole. Now, that's accurate. I got no problem with that at all.
I don't have any problem with it either.
If you want to get into it on the street, verbally, boom, boom, ping, ping, and then done. The guy still went into the game. He was not harassed at the game. He wasn't bothered at the game. He went to the game.
And just say no, his call for Jim Dolan to sell the team is not happening.
No,
so forget that. It's not a question of whether or not, like,
there's only one bad part of it.
All right, what's that?
The only bad part of the entire story, right?
All right.
Is that the guy ran to, you know, the blogs, the
papers. But that's what they do. That's what these, you know, like, come on, he's got his 15 minutes of fame.
Like, you get out of your car while you're playing, or even now, you're on the radio, and the guy's like, "Hey, Boomer, you suck. Show sucks." And you're like, you know what? Today might be the day I'm going to respond to that, right? And you come, you walk towards the guy, and you go, you know what? You suck. What's wrong with that? He started.
You know, when people come up to me and say that you suck, I defend you and I tell them, no, you don't suck. You suck.
No one goes up to you and goes, hey, he sucks. They go, you suck.
No, they say that you suck, and
then I have
to stand up for you.
They might ask you what it's like working with me, but no one comes up to you.
No, they say, you know, he sucks. We can't stand him. I'm like, I don't care what you did. It's my boy. Leave him alone.
No, I got your back. No one says
I got
that.
Your back.
But no one says
I got your back.
You are frequently asked what it's like to work with me.
No, you don't know what.
No one goes up to you and goes, "Oh, your partner sucks."
You don't know what it's like for me when I'm walking the streets of New York and somebody says, "Hey, your partner sucks.
No.
You're great." I'm like,
"Never
I appreciate that. Thank you." But you don't know my man. My man's great. I love my guy. My guy is our point guard here. My guy throws it out there. I got your back. What are you worried about?
I appreciate that.
I got you back all the way, man. Don't worry about it.
How about when executives?
I told you when we started out 10 years ago, I said, yeah. I got your back. Don't worry about it.
What about when executives call you? Same deal? Just wondering.
Well, it all depends on which executive.
Let's say in the last 24 hours, the Mac Daddy and the D to the B called you just to say, "Hey, what's up with your boy?"
I'm just like, I don't know what's up with my boy. I don't muzzle my boy. My boy's got to do whatever my boy's got to do.
You do
that. Because my boy's got, you know, a family to feed.
Right.
You got to put kids through college.
No doubt.
I mean, so I'm here with you. I get you. I get what you're all about.
We are applying for the Esiason grant.
No, you're not.
For college.
No, you're not.
Oh, no, I'm saying we're going to get it, but Al told me to apply because the deadline's coming up.
Your kids don't have cystic fibrosis.
I didn't say the Boomer Esiason Foundation grant.
Oh.
The Boomer grant.
Oh.
Like, you know, you love my children.
The Uncle Boomer grant.
The Uncle Boomer family grant that I'm expecting.
I think your children are some of the most amazing kids I've ever met for what they have as a dad. I just think that they are. Well, it's a weird thing.
Compliment,
you know, it is. It kind of is, because I know that your wife does an unbelievable job with them. And they are always very, very kind. They're good-hearted kids.
Polite.
They like to climb on me, but that's a different story.
They do like to climb on you.
And, you know, and it's kind of like an inherent thing with them, because when I first met Lucky and Sonny, they were all over me.
Yes.
And as they've grown older, they've kind of gotten away from that. But now I got that little AI.
Yes.
Who's just like an animal.
He don't care.
He don't care.
There's no filter with him.
But it's awesome.
He'll go right.
So your kids are going to be great, but that's my point. You have those kids to raise, and you got to put those kids through school and all that other stuff. So I sit here, and I tell people all the time, yeah, I know you're a pain in the ass, but it's okay. You're my pain in the ass.
Again, it seems like you're saying nice things.
Yes.
I just don't feel like you're saying nice things.
I'm saying very nice things.
Well, it's amazing. I thought of this yesterday, as a matter of fact.
It's very nice things that I'm saying.
So later this fall, we're gonna have some type of Boomer and Carton 10-year celebration. Just to be total clarity.
Who's supporting that?
The station's idea. It's like Boomer and I said, give us a party. We want a party. But we're happy to do
it. It's just one. I don't need to do anything.
We're going
to
have a concert. We're going to have a big night in Atlantic City. We have a lot of things cooking.
As far
right?
as I'm concerned, I've already celebrated our 10th year together.
But we haven't gotten there yet. How have you celebrated it?
Well, I gave you a Raptor.
Yeah, but I wasn't there for a celebration.
You didn't celebrate getting into that
Yeah,
thing?
I did. But we didn't have like an official cheers, you know, man hug, pat on the back.
I don't need that.
I'd like it. It makes me feel like we're celebrating something.
Okay.
But in any event, I thought about this yesterday. On September 4th, 2007. All right, write that down, Al. Jot that down.
September 4th.
On September 4th, 2007. All right? If I can just very quickly. Al was engaged to the same woman for the second time. Bob Dwyer did not have any children. Jerry Recco had never coached a Little League game in his life. Eddie Scazzeri has not changed one bit. You had two kids in high school, junior high school and high school, right?
Yep.
I had three kids, none of them older than six. We sit here today. Al's got a girlfriend for 2 years and is now a multi-home owner based on that great relationship. Bob has two beautiful kids. Jerry Recco has coached 273 Little League games. You have two college graduates and a damn near son-in-law, right? And I now have four kids and a daughter that drives. Where did it go?
I'll tell you where it went, because today happens to be a very special day in one young man's life.
Today is
April 6th.
Today is Gunner's 26th birthday.
That's exactly right.
How about that?
Is that amazing?
Which is actually a major thing.
Well, it is a major thing, but it's just the fact that he's 26 years old and everything that he has been through and we have been through with him, the fact that he's 26 and doing well and really become quite the example in the world of CF.
It's, no doubt.
It's an amazing day, and I'm very, very proud of him, and I'm very happy with
congratulations.
Him.
Congratulations.
Well, don't congratulate me. Congratulate him.
We should have a celebration.
Believe me, every day is a celebration with Gunn.
Get him a Raptor.
It is. He's got a Raptor.
There you go.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
He's been under the weather for about 10 days now. He's in ICU up in Buffalo. And they're not saying what the issue is. But they are very, very concerned. As Dan Bylsma, the head coach up there, basically says, I'm very concerned about what Kyle is dealing with. They don't know exactly what it is yet, or they haven't let it on as to exactly what it is. The Buffalo Sabre players are all concerned. They're basically saying that he is in ICU, that he is dealing with something, and you wouldn't put a guy in ICU, as you read further about the story, unless there was something going on in his brain or something of that nature. So they have not confirmed what it is. They're just saying that he has been dealing with an illness since March 28th. And it's going to be, I would imagine soon, something coming out in regards to him. So prayers for Kyle Oposo and his family, and hopefully it's something that he'll be able to overcome.
Yep. Boomer and Carton on the Fan. Jerry Regulus here with an update. Then back to you, Jerome.
Good morning. Brought to you by Infinity of Massapequa. Family owned and operated since their inception in 1989. Shop 24/7 at infinityofmassapequa.com. We are also brought to you by AccountTemps. Feeling like tax season might run you over? AccountTemps can offer you highly skilled temporary accounting and finance professionals to help. Call them today or visit AccountTemps.com. AccountTemps, a Robert Half company. Well, it happened again last night at the Trop. I don't mean the Yankees losing because they did win the second game, but yeah. This.
Here's the 0-2.
What?
Swung on a high fly to right. No. Underneath it is Judge, and it hits something. It hits something, and it lands in the outfield. What are you going to do, right?
Well, it turns out to be a single for Logan Morrison. Now, we've seen this a couple of times throughout the week, and a couple of batters. Now, there were a couple of plays in between Yankees, actually. I think it was Steven Souza that got thrown out at the plate. They were playing well, but ultimately, they did get a couple of runs into Tampa.
Pineda holds a set at the belt. And the pitch is lined on one hop off Castro to right center field. It's a base hit. Two-run score, and Tampa takes a 3-1 lead.
Two outs, and right. Castro up.
No, yes, that was Derek Norris that hit the ball. The two-out, two-run single, and 4-1 would be the final. That made it 3-1 at the time. But again, this catwalk really is a problem. So much so, throughout the couple of days, John Sterling just doesn't like it at all.
This is the dumbest baseball place I've ever seen. I don't know what it is, but it ain't baseball.
And Susan compared it to
Erector sets. Do they still have Erector sets? Do people know what I just was talking about? Well, hit one of the Erector set things, too. What a place.
What a place.
You know, Susan, I've got an Erector set right now.
Well, no. She's talking about...
Are we
about
talking about something else?
Yes.
The truss is across the top of the dome there in St. Petersburg.
Right. That's what they're
correct. Well, that changes the entire thing for me.
Have you ever been in that place?
I have. I went last year.
Yeah.
No. I try to avoid going to buildings that have erections in them.
Correct. No, Erector set.
Oh.
Not what you said. 4-1 the final. Here's Joe Girardi.
I kind of like it there.
That's not
direct.
No. Girardi needs more length from his starters. Well, that's what's
it's
true.
Right place.
Yeah, he had Tanaka only won a few innings. He only got, what, 3 2/3 last night?
I mean, that's got to change. And you knew early on that you weren't going to get a ton out of him, but you can't live like that the whole year.
Oh, boy. Already.
Not good. No, it's not good at all.
Well, they get a day off today, right?
They do, and then they go to Baltimore, I believe, tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
You know, that's they might drop three games out of first.
Who's next?
I'm telling you, the Yankees may never touch first place.
Certainly a chance on the table.
Yeah, the division's really good. It's not going to be easy for them, for sure. Mets meet time at Citi Field. They were playing the Braves. Their offense did, aside from a Jay Bruce home run, absolutely nothing. So you push this thing ahead into the 12th inning. It's a 1-1 game.
1-1 game at Citi Field. Here's the pitch. Swing, and it's laced in a left, a base hit. That's going to chase home at least two. Freeman takes a turn and goes to third. Kemp will coast in a second with another double, his third of the night, and the Braves have broken it open on that swing. 3-1 in the top of the 12th.
And there's your final. Josh Lewin on WOR. Atlanta evens up the series. Here's Terry Collins. Don't blame the bullpen. That was Rafael Montero that gave up the two runs. You also had Hansel Robles struggling in the seventh.
Robles.
He says, we need to score runs, and we simply didn't do it.
I thought they kept us in the game. There's no question. I mean, you know, we didn't get many hits, and, you know, we didn't really have a lot of opportunities to score, and they kept us in there. So I thought they pitched for it very well.
For the most part.
Yeah, by the way, I mean, DeGrom gave you 6 innings.
Yeah.
And the bullpen gave you 5 scoreless innings. Well, I guess 4 scoreless innings.
After they tied it, yeah.
So, I mean, at some point, the other team is going to score a run.
Yeah.
When are you going to score runs?
Yeah, they didn't.
Right.
Well, you know, it's Jose Reyes, it's Curtis Granderson, you know, and it's Neil Walker.
Right.
It's, you know, all three of those guys basically, you know, getting off to really slow starts here.
And it was Bartolo Colon, too. 6 terrific innings.
I mean, let's face it, the leadoff hitter is supposed to do what?
Get on base. Set the table.
He also didn't play well on the field either last night. It was not one of Jose's best nights.
Two games.
Yeah, the fans have forgiven.
Now, you better just, as they always say, win the series. So now you got a chance with our guy on the mound tonight against Jamie Garcia,
Jaime Garcia,
and Matt Harvey. And let's hope Matt Harvey's
got
the goods.
Well, you know, that's the Tampa Bay Rays won their series, right?
They did.
That
they took 2 out of 3.
That's right. At home.
Yes, they did.
Wow. It would be unfortunate for the Mets to lose their opening home series.
Yeah, it would be.
That is correct.
Yeah, it would not be good for them for sure. Elsewhere,
especially with Syndergaard, DeGrom, and Harvey being the three starting pitchers. Who will be the first Mets starter to actually get a win?
Or run support. Forget a win.
Or decision,
I mean,
at all.
My God. You mentioned the Orioles. Well, look out.
And half delivers, swinging a high fly ball, left center field. Back it goes to the bullpen.
Oh, no,
back
you
it
didn't.
Goes. And that ball is gone. Davis goes deep. And it's a 3-1 lead for the O's.
Fred Manfra on Orioles Radio.
Ding dong.
Who is it?
Buck Showalter. Biatch.
I'm ready with that crap.
Your guy Adam Jones had a home run as well, and they wound up winning yesterday. They beat the Blue Jays 3-1. Dylan Bundy, 7 innings with 8 strikeouts. He got the win. Nationals over the Marlins 6-4. Daniel Murphy, 2-for-4. He's batting .500. Ryan Zimmerman
I
did
homer. I think
he's
a net negative.
Nice. Red Sox shut out the Pirates in 12-3-0. Sandy Leone, the game-winning three-run homer. Chris Sale got nothing for his efforts. 7 scoreless innings with 7 strikeouts as well. And the Indians swept the Rangers with a 9-6 win. Francisco Lindor, the grand slam, the go-ahead grand slam in the ninth inning.
That's why he's getting a 7-year extension.
That's exactly right. And George Springer homers in the 13th. Astros beat the Mariners 5-3. He drove in all 5 runs on the night for Houston. Elsewhere, first round of the Masters from Augusta. And Dustin Johnson, the number one player in the world right now, fell downstairs in his rental house. He hurt his back. He's on anti-inflammatories. His tee time is 2:03 this afternoon.
Are they talking about him maybe not playing?
What time is the first tee time today?
I would believe the first tee time's got to be in about 40 minutes or so. Let's see. I
have 8 a.m. It's got to be 8 a.m.
It's 8 o'clock. It's Daniel Summerhayes and Russell Henley.
There you go.
Don't do the old guy thing first?
Yeah, Nicholas and Player.
Yeah, no Arnold Palmer anymore, unfortunately.
Right, no,
I know that, but how do the...
The honorary starters.
Right.
They might have done that already,
but they don't replace Arnold Palmer for that.
Right now, it's Nicholas and Player.
Got it. All right.
So that would be it. So that gets underway in about...
Tiger do it.
Well, I guess he could since he's not playing. Right. That would be something, but I don't think he's going to. Anyway, Marshawn Lynch visited with the Raiders. There are reports that he could end up playing there, no doubt. They would have to work something out with Seattle, but I guess they're very friendly, those two sides, and that could happen. Cavaliers, easy over the Celtics, 114-91. LeBron James, 36 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists. And then you had Russell Westbrook doing what Russell Westbrook does.
Adams has the rebound, though. Corner right, Westbrook. Closed out on a double team. Played by Daniels as he pulls up, fires. Angle right through to Leach. Cha-ching, a Thunder money ball. He lofts and sticks it. Russell Westbrook, the fourth quarter
Russell
closer.
Westbrook. He's the MVP. You're the great Cartini. Now look at me.
That's going to haunt me for a long time. Thunder beat the Grizzlies 103-100. Westbrook, 45 points, 10 assists, and how many rebounds?
Nine.
So close. Yes. Next one, he will break the record. Heat beat the Hornets 112-99. Miami tied with Indiana for 8th in the East. Also, Kyle Lowry back for the Raptors for the stretch run. They beat the Pistons 105-102. Lakers win in San Antonio 102-95. Now, the Kawhi Leonard, LaMarcus Aldridge didn't play in the second half. They did play in the first half.
Yeah, but Kawhi Leonard played all of, I think, 12 minutes for the game.
Because he didn't play the second half.
They rested him.
The Lakers buried them in the first quarter, though.
All well and good.
That's all I'm saying.
That being said, now Popovich is getting cute because he's not benching guys for the whole game because of all the whiplash on it. So now it's all right. I'll start you, but I ain't dressing in the second half. Same damn thing.
I don't think
same
it's the
thing.
Same thing.
Sure it is.
I don't,
Where's your MVP candidate in the second half of a game?
He ain't
playing. Guess what? You're no longer an MVP candidate.
Well, I don't know about that.
It's coming down to two guys, Westbrook and Harden.
Now, Steph Curry had 42. The Warriors beat the Suns in Phoenix 120-111. They just keep on winning. Golden State clinches the best record in the NBA. Knicks home for the Wizards tonight. The James Dolan story you did, he did admit to calling the fan what he called him.
And why is that a problem?
I think it's great, actually, that he was honest about it and doesn't deny it.
Yeah,
I think it's fantastic.
Again, the guy's maybe being a bit of a douche.
Right.
And he yells at the owner.
A bit of a douche.
Again, I wasn't there, so I don't know exactly what happened.
The guy's a 35-year-old lawyer.
Yeah.
He's a lawyer, for
hey,
God's sake.
Hey, sell the team, Dolan. You suck.
Just goes to show you how crazed fans are. Even the most educated of fans can act like an idiot.
Yeah, so you're going to say that to me? Guess what? You're an a-hole.
That's it.
So it's called, folks, this is called New York. Someone calls you a name, you call them a name right back, right?
I think it's
and
great.
I got no issue with this at all. Now, had they banned him from the building, I would have had a problem with that. Had they,
they tried.
He verbally said, I'm not going to let you in.
Don't let him in.
But you know what? He walked in. You know for well they got security cameras and everything. They let the guy go to his seat. He enjoyed out of the game, blah, 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 and it's over with. The fact that this guy runs to the newspapers or to Deadspin or to, you know, Bleacher Report or to KFC Barstool, and yeah, or TMZ Sports. Oh, wait, the end of the one.
I yelled at
me. Wait, this. Gene Dolan yelled. He called me an a-hole.
Oh, you are.
You're acting like an a-hole. And by the way, running to the media, social or otherwise, is 10 times douchier than actually saying, hey, don't sell the team. I think.
I agree.
Guess what just happened? Oh, goody, my 5 minutes of fame. Here we go, Billy.
I'm sure it's going to be a great discussion for him to teach his students.
And by the way, how about you, this guy's friend?
I actually try to get a rich guy in trouble so I can sue him because he insulted me.
How about
me.
This? He then talks about how he's waiting for his friend.
Oh.
And I'm not going to say the name, but he gives his friend's first name and last name. And he goes, I'm waiting for Joey Jablonski.
I'm waiting for Jerry Recco.
He was smoking a cigarette outside, so I was waiting for him. And he gives out his buddy's full name. Like, dude, how about you keep my name out of your mouth? How about that? Right?
Yeah, I guess so.
He's giving his friend 2 minutes of fame, too.
His friend smoking a cigarette, minding his own business.
Well.
Probably looking at online porn on his phone outside. Next thing you know, his name's in the newspaper. He didn't even do anything.
You're right.
That's why you say... As Stephen A. Smith said to LeVar Ball, keep Michael Jordan's name out your mouth.
Out your mouth.
Right. You keep my name out your mouth. And we'll be fine, right?
Stay woke.
Stay woke.
Nets are in Orlando tonight. Nets looking for a fourth straight win. And Georgetown introduced Patrick Ewing as their new head coach.
Well, I'm looking forward to coaching them. You know, I was joking with someone on my way into the to the press conference. Cool. I said, you know, we need to get back to the way it was. You know, no one liked us. Hoya paranoia. Smacking people down.
And then talking about the rivalry with St. John's Hoya and Chris paranoia. Mullen. Should like be it. A lot of fun. He was great yesterday.
Good. Go find a 7-footer from one of the, the islands that are within 3 hours of United States of America who can play basketball, and you're on your way.
Capitals, or go to Poland and get one.
Or go to Poland and get one, yes. Right.
Capitals shut out the Rangers 2-0. Devils, Penguins tonight, Islanders, and Carolina.
Boomer, are you familiar with a bird called the Pharaoh? F-A-R-O-E.
I am not.
You're not?
No.
You should be.
Why?
Because your people.
My people, the Norwegians?
Yes, the Norwegians.
Vikings? Yes, what are we?
I saw this tremendous documentary.
Okay.
Actually called Bizarre Foods with Andrew Zimmern.
Okay.
And it's a small little group of islands in between Norway and Iceland, I want to say. Does that make sense geographically? It seems like it does. And everyone on the show looked like you.
Oh.
I'm telling you, you have relatives in this Pharaoh place.
I'm sure I do.
You must.
I must.
A bunch of blockheaded, you know, thick-bodied, the women too, like, hey, how you doing? Pretty good, how are you? I mean, salt to the earth
well,
people.
Well, yeah, we're living off the land.
Living off the land.
Whale blubber.
Eating sheep and this Pharaoh bird, which the bird, real quick, gets so heavy and it's like oily that towards the end of its life, it can no longer fly out of the ocean. So they're allowed to net it, crack its neck, skin it, and then they eat it. But your people are knee-deep in this place.
7:45 on
like,
the
fan. This is where, like, assassins go to hide.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on the fan.
Put a football on an ARP's hand, and they start going crazy.
And then I guess they maybe realize that, of course, I can't leave. So
right.
Perhaps that's why I was not
informed.
So maybe
it would just be Al... Jerry and
perhaps
Bobby.
That's possibly
right. Going down to throw the football out on Hudson Street.
Exactly. I guess that's what.
Now
they're
is Craig going with them? Do you know?
Apparently, because otherwise he would be back here with you.
Well, let me take a couple calls.
Sure, why not?
And if, we'll see what's going on out there, and then hopefully Craig will realize that we're actually doing a live radio show.
Right, we're on the air, and he's got responsibility.
Okay, let's go to Artie in Brooklyn. Artie, you're on with Boomer and Carton, but it's just me there, Artie.
Hey, Boomer, it's really good to talk to you. I want to say happy birthday to Gunner.
Yes.
And congratulations. That's awesome. I grew up playing Belport football under Coach Shipp. He always taught us, we respected East Islip. I played East Islip. Before I had my daughter, I came to a newfound respect, not just you as a football player, but you and your Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. And just about a year ago, my daughter was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis, and she's going to be a year on her birthday's this Sunday, and she's doing great with all the new medicines and all the new treatments that they have coming out.
Well, Artie, all I can tell you is that when Gunnar was your daughter's age, we had no idea what the future was going to hold. But now that he's 26 and we've seen all the things that have done, you can turn your radio down the back there. What we've learned over the last 25 years is just amazing. And I can tell you that your daughter is going to have a great life and is going to be able to do all the things that you and your wife would want her to do. And I think Gunnar is absolutely the prime example for that. So let's go to, let's go to Robbie in Staten Island. Robbie, you're on with Boomer and Carton. What's happening, Robbie?
Put my mic on!
Yeah, it's on, Robbie. Go ahead.
All right, I want to say, I want to place a wager.
Yep.
Barry will win who could throw the furthest, and I need to applaud Carton on the way he gets things done mentality. Got to do the contest right now.
Yep.
Love it. I got to applaud him for that. Eddie Scuzzeri will win it. I want to place a wager on Eddie.
You want Eddie Scuzzeri because you're going to place a wager on Eddie. But let me just tell you what is happening around here. And thanks for the call there, Robbie. Let me tell you what's happening at WFAN right now. Me and Eddie are the only two guys here right now as we are live on the air. Eddie is actually doing double duty. He's working the board. And he's also answering phones right now because I think Al, Jerry, and Craig, along with Bobby, are downstairs throwing the football while we are live on the air. So I have no idea what the hell's going on out there, but I can tell you this. Eddie Scuzzeri most likely will not be doing it because he actually is doing double duty right now as Al just basically left him hanging.
Well, oh, there you are. Excuse me.
Where you guys been?
We were out of the street. First we did it on the sidewalk on Hudson. Then we went over to King.
Charlton,
excuse me. It ain't pretty, these two. It ain't pretty at all. Al hit a tree.
We didn't want to hit pedestrians, Boomer.
I think they might get close to 35 yards at their best. They're not throwing 40.
I told you.
Did Bobby go?
No, he didn't get a chance to go. So next break, I'll go back out there with Bobby if you want.
Oh, okay, that's great.
With you, Eddie. But well, they tied at about 25 yards.
Yeah, I told you, they're not throwing the ball 40 yards.
I don't understand how that's possible.
Plus, the ball got wet. In the NFL, they change balls constantly.
Did they get a warm-up? A few warm-up
passes. And they also underinflate the balls, too.
I would say, they probably did five throws each, two on Hudson, three on King, or Charlton, whatever it is.
So you took the best of whatever.
Using the term the best of in that scenario is not the appropriate term. Al, you have to admit. Then Jerry's excuse was, well, we were throwing the ball to you. Like, all of a sudden, I'm now responsible for their weak arms.
Well, they didn't want to hurt you.
No, trust me. There was a small family of newborn chicks that were not afraid of the ball cracking their shells.
Narp-alerp, narp-alerp, narp-alerp.
And you can tell Al didn't want to throw the ball if there's a person within 10 yards of it.
Why
I'm
not?
I'm like, throw the ball, let's go. Well, there's a person. You know,
was he afraid he was going to get sued or something?
Or punched in the mouth, you know, if he hit somebody. Here's Sal in Brooklyn on the fan. Sal, what do you got? Hi, Sal. This is fun.
Hey, Carl, I'm sorry. What's going on?
Hey, no worries, Biggs. What's going on with you today, Hammer?
All right, Hammer. Listen, LeBron, did you hear what he said before the game? There's no big regular season out of big games. He was in the game. They were up by 30 with 5 minutes left. He was still in the game.
Yeah, he's in the game because now they're not playing well. They're trying to get their mojo back.
They've won four in a row right now. So they're playing better.
They're trying to get their mojo back.
Yeah.
So now, you're going to the playoffs. You want to be like Golden State.
That was a statement game yesterday. 100%
correct.
Statement game.
There was. There's no doubt because, I think the Celtics might have even been favored by a point or two.
Well, you picked
the
Celtics.
You liked the Celtics. I did. You picked them by two.
Yeah, I thought the spread was, I was all over Boston
so
yesterday.
So for Boston, it was a look-ahead game.
No.
You shut down Thomas. They got no other scores.
And that's why, it's a fair statement.
Got to try to get Melo on the offseason.
They need Melo
Isaiah
in the
Thomas
worst way.
Has to score 28 or more for that team to win.
I think Boston needs Melo in the worst way.
By the way, you all right?
Yeah. Are you all right?
Feeling fantastic.
That's
myself.
Great. That's
Thank
good.
Thank you. I want to make sure you're feeling all right.
Well, yeah, I'm feeling great.
Because you keep moving the M&Ms away from yourself.
I keep eating the peanut M&Ms.
Somehow you keep finding them within your arm's length. Three times you said, get these away from me.
By the way, did you throw the football at all yesterday with these guys or no?
I threw it back to them, but I did not.
I mean, how far did he bounce it back to you guys?
No, I did not.
They were kind of just wounded ducks.
No, it's not a wounded duck either.
What kind of football were you throwing, by the way?
It was a Wilson almost tackified ball.
Yeah, it was kind of tackified.
It was one of these Fugazi balls.
You'd throw it 70 yards.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, Boomer would throw it 70 yards.
Oh, come on, you guys.
But it did get wet.
That's the only ball he's got.
You got to try to do man stuff. Do it. Be a man.
He's got a football. He's a football. He threw
football. Don't do like half-ass man stuff.
But they're not going to throw a wounded duck.
I can't believe you guys, you jackasses, went out there and like, you know what, people looking at you like, what are these bunch of idiots doing?
No, it's New York City. You go out there naked, no one says nothing about it. Because it's New York. It's a beauty in New York.
Go out there naked.
What up?
Then go out there naked.
Well, you get arrested. I don't get arrested.
I'll go out there and you know.
I'm cold.
Okay.
Why don't you go out there?
Well, because I'm not going out there.
Here's Chuck in Queens on the Fan. Chuck, what do you got?
Oh.
Hey.
A couple of things. On the Met season coming up, there's always going to be that one starter that seems to have the doom and gloom of, like, having to put up zeros. DeGrom seems to be that guy lately.
Where
if he doesn't shut him out, they don't hit for him. There's always that. I remember when we first got Pedro, it seemed like first season, if he doesn't shut him out, gives up one run, it's either going to be an extra inning.
Yep,
open or lose.
I remember. Yep.
Now, on the football toss, is it a running start? Is it a seven-step drop? Are they standing still with one step forward?
No, like, very good point,
So what
Chuck.
We did was we picked a random cement block, and wherever the line was, you could do anything you want. You could run up to the line, stand at the line. You just can't cross the line. But it's up to each guy. I think they both took like two steps and
kind of like
it.
Throwing the shot put or the
yeah,
javelin.
But like, you know, but you're not like you're not frozen.
Yeah.
You can run, yeah. But you got to release the ball before the line. So there is a line. Yes.
Now the next challenge that should be presented is the wet nerf catching challenge. So have a guy 10 yards away and gunning the wet nerf.
I like that.
So you hold
like
on
that.
To it.
The soaked nerf, you know, right in the chest.
I would love to do that.
That is
I would love to do that because we actually kind of did that at the Super Bowl.
We did.
When you guys were jumping in the tires.
Yeah, but then he got hurt.
I threw you the ball and you said, oh, come on, throw the ball. And then Al happened to be the next guy up and I just drilled him and then he... He started whining and everything.
Wow, my thumb.
Yeah.
You hurt my thumb.
By the way.
And I felt terrible. I'm like, wait a minute, time out. It's not my fault.
Still hurts.
He said, throw the ball. And you're looking at me like you're crying to me.
I felt so bad.
I thought it was going to hurt my piano playing skills. Luckily, it didn't.
So you got that.
But it does still, lockdown. I could still kind of feel it.
What hurts more today, the thumb or the rib cage?
The thumb, because the rib cage completely healed.
It did. So you're good on that.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Remember when Al did a brief stint at NEW when we were there? He was going to try to get his own show.
You did a brief stint, too.
You guys said while we were there.
Well, you said he did a brief stint.
While we were there.
You also did a brief stint.
He did a brief on-air stint while we were there.
Really? Oh, that's where the podcast began.
Yes, but he decided he did like a puker.
What does that mean?
Al?
Puker means not good.
You know those broadcast pukers. Well, okay, everybody.
Oh. Good afternoon.
Right, broadcast voice.
Well, back then, that's what they were doing on WNEW, the old rock jocks.
That's right.
Like Harris Allen.
I did not know that.
That's a clip.
I didn't get the sense Harris was like that.
He was.
Oh, and a puker.
A puker.
That's what Al said.
So, Al, you were a puker for how long did you get the show for? A day or two?
Did not last long.
Oh.
He did one show.
Oh, the Beatles.
I would do that.
Tonight, the Knicks are home for the Wizards. The Nets are in Orlando. Georgetown did introduce Patrick Ewing as their new head coach. And a very interesting question, because he hasn't been a coach at the college level. And recruiting was a question. This is a long clip, but I like it, especially towards the end. He was asked specifically, how are you going to go out and get players?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to put around myself a great staff who has the ability to go out and recruit and teach me all the things I need to know until I get up to speed in terms of recruiting. But I don't see anything different. It's all about going out and selling your program, and I think that I'm a great salesman.
No, there you go.
Well, there you go.
That's
good for him.
Answer.
You know, I'm just so happy for him. I really am. I mean, I would have liked to have seen him had a shot at the Knicks job one of these years, but I knew that was never going to happen.
Well, maybe it will be.
It's kind of like the way he left here, and it was not good. You know, he went to go play for Seattle and all that crap. It was just, the whole thing was ugly, and who knows what the hell that was all about.
Here's a breaking news story.
Good for him, though.
It apparently happened overnight. We're just learning about it now, because that's how things roll around here. The internet's not working well. Clint Frazier tweeted out that he appreciates the call from Susan Wolman and her apology.
Really?
For suggesting that he asked about wearing Mickey Mantle's number.
All right, well, good. There you
and
go.
He squashed it.
Everything's nice.
So
nice
she did reach
now.
Out.
Good for her.
She did apologize. She should probably come on the Midday Show today and apologize on the air as well.
Where do you think she got that from? Do you think she mixed it up or something? Or?
No, I don't know. Somebody was probably messing around, and she heard it and took it as gospel and had a chance to, oh, let me tell you a breaking story.
She should come on the Midday Show and go, I screwed that up. It was Aaron Judge asking for it.
Yeah, right.
So there you go. So that's over then.
So, but there's the acknowledgement that he never asked for Mickey Mantle's number.
Right. So that story is over. Capitals.
It's a good question. Like, where do you get that from?
Well, someone around the team told her. But she ain't making that up.
Nope.
That's appropriate right there. Time now for Moment of the Day, which is brought to you by Resorts World Casino New York City with over 5,500 games and the highest payouts anywhere. They've got more right next door.
Moment of the Day!
So, as we just got a preview, Boomer's off tomorrow. He will enjoy a nice weekend in Canada. He's going to play some hockey, go to a meaningless Ranger game. Early this morning, just like right now, he seemed like he had already checked out.
They're just not going up there and swinging.
Oh, fair enough.
Well, Gary Sanchez is 1-14, right? So he's struck out 3 times. I don't know. You know, maybe he's not long for
maybe
the tool.
Maybe you want to take a nap?
Yeah, maybe I do. Maybe I do. Okay,
Yankees are off today.
That was like a yawn, you're right. I mean, you're about done. That was one of those, all right, good seeing you, fellas. I got a trip to Ottawa. Yeah, that wasn't like a yawn, like I'm waking up yawn. That was a I'm done yawn. The full body stretch, the whole thing.
Moment of the day?
No, not yet.
Not yet, okay.
I wish.
There you go, right now. Moment of the day.
Yes, okay, good, Jerry.
Have a great weekend.
Good job.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.